17 hours before this time, the sun rose over the sheep grazing slopes of New Zealand. Along with Christians on other islands in the Western Pacific from north to south, New Zealanders were the first to greet this Easter day. While we were still living our yesterday, they sang Alleluia. An hour later, Eastern Australians greeted the day with song as the rising sun sparkled on white sand beaches. While we were living yesterday, they sang Alleluia. As Alleluias echoed over the giant red rocks of Central Australia, they were joined by songs of praise from Japan, Korea, Southeast Asia, Malaysia, the Philippines, and India. We were still living yesterday, but they were singing Alleluia. And into the Holy Land itself, pilgrims who walked the very way of the cross that Jesus walked 2,000 years before sang out their joy. As our Saturday turned into Sunday, still dark for us, they sang Alleluia. In Madagascar, South Africa, and Eastern Europe, the wave of Alleluias continued. We were still sleeping, but they were singing Alleluia. As the sun rose over Western Europe in Naples and Rome, in the villages of the Rhine and the chalets of the Alps, in the great cathedrals of France, while we slept, they sang Alleluia. In London and Madrid and Lisbon, Cardiff, Dublin and Glasgow, in West Africa, we were still sleeping, but they were singing Alleluia. Across the Atlantic to Iceland and Greenland, and in Brazil, the sounds of praise echo onward. We were still sleeping when they sang Alleluia. Even as the sun touched the shores of the Americas and the wave of Alleluias reached our own land, in Eastern South America and in Newfoundland, they sang Alleluia. The Easter sun journeyed on through the Canadian Maritime, Central and South America. As we were stirring from our sleep, we could almost hear as they sang Alleluia. And now this glorious Easter sun has awakened us to the joy and hope of resurrection, and we can now join the wave of Alleluias and sing. The wave of Alleluias around the earth is not yet finished. The prairie sky embraces the Easter sun, and the sound of Alleluias rolls across the vast expanses of North and South America to the mountains and the ocean beyond. In just a few hours, Hawaiians will awake to Aloha and Alleluias. The sound will echo toward the dateline as Fijians sing out their Alleluias. And now the whole earth sings Alleluia. Christ is risen. We usually do that at sunrise on Easter Sunday morning. I thought it would be appropriate for whatever time you listen to this audio service to join the chorus of Alleluias. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery, rector of the parish, joined in the service of the word today by Hannah Scorer, who is our assistant priest. We have a great contingent of musicians today. Our vocal quartet, Victoria Piovison, Katie Clark, Jack Seisland, and Paul Grambo, led as always by our director of music, Steve Hollowitz. We also feature some members of our good friends from Brass Roots. Paul Stevenson on trumpet, Tony Snyder plays the horn, Susan Follows on trombone, and Eric Probst on the tuba. Keeping us all in line and getting it all together for us, as always, is our sound engineer extraordinaire, John Gardy. Now is the time to sing Alleluia as together we worship.
Lord of life and power, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, you have overcome the old order of sin and death, and have made all things new in him. May we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, reign with him in glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit is alive, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know who it was. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of Christ.
The most poignant stories of our sacred scriptures have become so familiar that we perhaps find ourselves unable to grasp the astounding impact there was in living these events in person. Preachers have, for as long as there have been preachers, tried to find new angles, new presentations, new examples, anything to try and refresh and revitalize the stories so that we again stare straight into the face of God and hear and feel God's joy and pain in God's relationship with humanity. Today, we will try a new path, one not often trod by others, to understand anew the great events of Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter. It seems almost too trite today for people to say, "Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus lived again that we might be saved." The words roll off our tongues without much thought to the great mysteries they reveal. Today, we will go back into history to put together two songs that recent history has bound through a single tune. The thing is that rarely has anyone thought to sing the two songs together, to see, hear, breathe, and feel the dichotomy of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The House of the Rising Sun, also known as the Rising Sun Blues, may have its origins in a French folk story of the 16th century, or it may have its birth in English pubs in the 17th century. Somewhere along the way, it transferred to the United States and wound up in New Orleans. The first recording of the Rising Sun Blues came from Clarence Ashley and Gwen Foster in 1933. Many more would sing the tale, and it would be reworked by 1962 as Bob Dylan recorded The House of the Rising Sun. But it wasn't until 1964 that a young Eric Burdon and his group The Animals recorded the song in England that the world came to know the story. Their first take recording shot to the top of the charts in both England and America and made The Animals stars around the world. Many others have grabbed a little fame along the way by recording the song, from Dolly Parton to Frigid Pink, to Five Finger Death Punch, and literally thousands of local bands, all have put their stamp on this now classic. In 1748, a British slave trader by the name of John Newton was caught in a violent storm at sea. Having not been raised religious nor following any particular denomination, it is all the more startling that he had an on-the-spot conversion experience. It's a bit murky to get through the next 7 years as Newton went from slave trader to theology student. Nonetheless, it is clear his profession was to change. Ordained in the Church of England in 1764, it was some years later that Newton produced the words of Amazing Grace as a sermon illustration. Published in 1779, well, the rest of the story is well known. Today, most everyone has heard Amazing Grace. It's been recorded by artists in every genre of music. It is claimed as a favorite hymn by many. It is sung and played at funerals and special services and has moved so very many people. So, how can we possibly connect these two songs together? Somewhere along the way, someone discovered that you could sing Amazing Grace to the tune of the House of the Rising Sun. We can't find any versions of the reverse happening, but the words of Amazing Grace to the tune of the House of the Rising Sun has become popular. A bishop in an adjoining diocese apparently sang this every year around a youth campfire. That is far from the only connection of the two songs. In fact, one could argue they are the same song. A man trapped in an immoral and soul-destroying world comes to a crossroads. One goes back to New Orleans. The other goes over to God. Redemption is the word. Redemption is the reality. Redemption is the difference between the grief and sorrow and hopelessness of Good Friday and the joyful, life-giving spirit of Easter Sunday. Jesus died when the world had no hope, and he rose to redeem the hope that God has called God's people since the day there was God and there were people. So in an effort to give you a new window to understand what today really means, we present these two songs together. Multiple voices will be heard. Most are polished and professional. One is rough around the edges, unsure but committed, yet another dichotomy that fits the theme. They will be backed by the grace and fullness of a grand piano and the bluesy, smoky soul of the Hammond B3 organ. As you listen, imagine yourself in these unfolding stories. Imagine how you feel at finding redemption in God and the soul-busting discouragement of falling again in the midst of the lost and the damned. As you feel the emotion of these two lyrics, the passion of these two instruments, we pray that you find a new window, fresh and clear, into the story of Easter and the redemption of the world.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
My mother was a tailor. She sewed my new blue jeans. My father was a gambling man down in New Orleans.
Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. A precious did that grace appear, the
only thing a gambler needs is a suitcase and a trunk, and the only time that he's satisfied is when he's on a drunk.
Revive as days to see.
I would invite you this Easter morning to share with me in the prayers by finding a position of prayer that is most comfortable to you. And in joy and hope, let us pray to the source of all life, saying, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That our risen Savior may fill us with the joy of his holy and life-giving resurrection, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That isolated and persecuted churches may find fresh strength in the Easter gospel, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That he may grant us humility to be subject to one another in Christian love, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That he may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That by his power war and famine may cease throughout all the earth, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That he may reveal the light of his presence to the sick, the weak, and the dying, that they might be comforted and strengthened, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That he may send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon his people, that we may bear faithful witness to his resurrection, let us pray to the Lord, "Hear us, Lord of glory." And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
filled with the good news of the Easter Gospel, now let us go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of God's Spirit. Thanks be to God.